Well, Father, we just thank you so much again for this outreach that we have, this fellowship that we have. I don't even like to call it an outreach. I like to call it a fellowship. And thank you for it, Father, because these are all brothers and sisters. Lord, check our hearts, seek our hearts out to see if there's anything in us, Lord, and show us what it is and that we can repent and get out of it, Lord. And we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, for your mercy upon us. And that's something we're going to talk about tonight is your mercy. And boy, your book is full of your mercy. We could probably talk for 2 years on your mercy. But Lord, I just thank you that tonight you're going to be lifted up. You're going to be glorified. And we expect and we thank you for your anointing upon us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Anybody got a prayer request?
Hello.
Hey, Angeline.
Hi. Yeah, hi. I'm here with my husband. Well, we just prayed about it. We had been fasting about this. Basically, after you sent me that the email saying that the Lord would heal her cleft and her fingers, I thought about it. I didn't want to think about it because honestly, my flesh just wanted to get the surgery, but my sister had a vision or a dream that the Lord had healed her cleft and she didn't have it anymore. But it wasn't like the doctor did it. It was like seamless. And, you know, my husband also woke up and had a vision that she had. It was like the cleft was never there. So it was confirmation that God wanted to do that. I mean, I know he does by his word, but I guess I probably didn't want to. Because I thought that was something difficult. I mean, not for God, but difficult. I don't know. And then I was like tempted to fear opposition because it's such a big thing to us over here.
Okay.
So I just, yeah.
Do you want to pray or and let us believe with you?
Yes, we need people to stand with us. For sure.
Okay.
And also pray against, you know, any, like, opposition or witchcraft. You know, there's a lot of things going. I had a friend that they took her children away because they felt her kids were too obsessed with God. And, you know, things like that are starting to happen now. And, I mean, I don't want to fear it anyway. I know I have to stand on his word anyway. But, it's just, you know, it tempts you to think about that.
Yep, it is. But, you know, you've had two confirmations there, and you're going to have a bunch of believers here believing with you, and it's going to happen.
Yeah.
So if you want to pray, go ahead.
Oh, me? No. Me pray or you?
Well, you can or I can, either one.
I was hoping you would.
Okay.
I was hoping you would.
All right. What's her name?
Her name is Zoe. Zoe. Zoe.
Billy?
I'm sorry?
What was the name again? I'm sorry.
Zoe. Z-O-E.
Oh, okay. Zoe. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the problem is what?
She has, like, the cleft lip and palate.
Okay.
And she also has missing fingers.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I remember. Okay.
Yeah.
I got you. Well, we're going to pray, and you're going to see a miracle, okay? We're going to see a miracle
here.
And we're going to thank, Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift up Zoe to you. We thank you, Lord, for that birth that they said wasn't going to happen like it happened. We thank you, Father, for this healthy baby. Now, in the name of Jesus, we command that cleft lip to be healed in Jesus' name. We command everything to grow out like it's normal. That it is normal, and we thank you for it. And we command those fingers back on those hands in Jesus' name, right now in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you that everybody here believes that this is going to be a great miracle for Zoe, and she's going to be a witness to everybody around her that God heals even babies with cleft lips and missing fingers. We thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Oh, glory, hallelujah. We praise you, Father, for Zoe's complete healing and restoration in the name of Jesus. We praise you, Father, for this great gift, this great miracle that you've given them in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for healing and restoring Zoe in Jesus' name. Does everybody here believe that? Amen.
Yes, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. That's a done deal.
Okay.
Amen. We're just going to believe, aren't we? We're not going to believe what the doctors say. We're not going to believe what other people say. We're just going to believe what the Word of God says. Glory to God. And that little baby is healed in Jesus' name. She is.
Amen.
So we're going to endure in our faith to the end. And if anybody tells you, nope, that girl is healed. She's already restored in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe it. I believe it deep down in my spirit that girl is healed. Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Anything else?
No, I think that was basically it. Yeah, I think that was basically it right now.
Okay. Well, Father, we just thank you that you've given great and bold faith to Angeline and her husband in Jesus' name to believe what your word says. We thank you for it, Father. We know that it's hard when you see things in the natural, but Lord, you can give her supernatural bold faith. And we praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You believe that, Missy? All right. I do too. I believe it with all my heart.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Okay. Anybody else? Yeah, go ahead, Anna. I thought you was praising God.
Was that was her name Angeline?
Yes.
Right. Okay. I just thought it was kind of a confirmation this just like an hour ago. I was praying for just in general for all the kids born with cleft lip, and I can't remember ever praying for that before. So I just thought it was kind of a neat confirmation. Because I just, you know, in general, I don't know anybody with cleft lip, you know. But I was just praying for that before I got on, so I just thought that was really neat.
That's another confirmation. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. We just praise you, Lord, for that baby's healing. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Anybody else? Yeah. Missy, you got your hand up, or are you just waving at somebody? Okay. Yeah, Ken. Go ahead, Ken.
I'd just like to report that Mikey, who had the ammonia last time I was here, we prayed for her, and she's had made a complete recovery.
Praise God.
So, thank you, Lord.
Yeah, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Watch out. That's an attack dog, Missy. Amen. All right. Anyone else got a prayer request, a testimony, or a praise report?
I have a praise report. I forgot to tell my mom yesterday, you know, that, you know, when we prayed for her, you know, and all, you said to tell her that she's healed. Well, I called her today, and nobody answered. So she called me back later, and I told her, you know, that you specifically, you know, really prayed about the diabetes, and you said to tell her that she's healed. And I told her that, and she said to me that last night she went to use the thing, you know, to test her blood sugar, you know, how they prick her finger. Well, for quite a while, it's been giving her funny reports. Like, she'll do it on one finger, and then do it on a different finger, and it'll give her two different numbers, you know. I'm not quite sure why. But anyway, and she said that last night when she went to use it, it wasn't working at all. It had this error thing. And you know, like, it didn't hit me, but I was thinking about it then after I got off the phone a little bit later. And it was just like, it was like the Lord says to me, that was my gift to her, that she walked by faith and not by sight. She said she did order another thing. And so I told her that, you know, I said, that was God's gift to you. That was his grace. And so, you know, no matter what anybody, you know, what you see, hear, feel, whatever, you're healed, Mom. And she says, okay, good, she says. So I thought that was kind of neat.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Yeah.
Okay. I'm still believing for her.
Amen. It's a done deal.
Amen. All right, anyone else? Who is the 509 telephone number? See, 509-936-2498. Nope. He didn't want to be known. Okay. All right. Anybody else got something they'd like to share? Okay. What y'all want to talk about? What about God's mercy? Who was that asked that? That was, let me think here.
Anna.
That was Anna. That was Anna, wasn't it? Okay, Anna, what'd you find out about God's mercy?
First off, I want to say that on Tuesday, Matthew said that was my idea, and I said, no, it wasn't. So I thought it was a hard time. And after I got off, he said, when Michael said, you know, what do you guys want to talk about? He said, you were sitting there, and you said, God's mercy. And I was thinking about that. And then I remembered saying it. I have no idea. I was deep in thought. I don't remember saying it at the time.
Okay.
So I guess that's what the Lord wanted us to talk about.
Oh, yeah, that's a good subject. It's a good subject.
I didn't realize what I was saying, but here, just a second. Oh, here it is. I asked the Lord for a word to kind of expound on his mercy, you know, what that covers and stuff.
Yeah.
And I got Ezra 8. And I'm going to read 21 through 23. And this kind of goes in with what we've been talking about, fasting, to get to entreat God's favor, or you could say to entreat his mercy, I guess. So I just asked for a word to kind of expound on it, and I got Ezra 8:21 through 23. You there, Michael?
Yes, go ahead.
Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river Ahava, that we might humble ourselves before our God. So, you know, to humble ourselves, to entreat his mercy, I guess, and fast, to seek of him a straight way for us, for our little ones, and for our little ones, and for all our substance, which is asking for mercy, I guess. For I was ashamed to ask of the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way, because we had spoken unto the king, saying, the hand of our God is upon all that seek him. So, you know, seeking him goes in with that for good. But his power and his wrath is against all them that forsake him. So we fasted and besought our God for this, and he was entreated of us.
Amen.
I just thought that was pretty neat with the, you know, they humbled themselves, they fasted.
Yep.
They petitioned the Lord, and he gave them mercy and, you know, kept them safe while they were taking the offering to the house of God, and he kept them safe. So thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, Tim, go ahead, brother.
I'll step in a little. I haven't really read anything, I just found out what the message was today, but I didn't take any time in the Bible, but I've been reading second half of Pilgrim's Progress, and I was pondering that today. As all the characters are being summoned, to go meet their maker at the end of their pilgrimage, there's no regrets or no fear or anything like that. And I was thinking about the mercy of God along those lines, because if it wasn't for forgiveness and grace, and the more we learn as we grow in our studies of the Word, we would be scared to death of dying, because there'd be certain judgment and nobody would be worthy of going to heaven. And it would just be, people would be going fit to be tied, trying to find a way out of death, because they knew that they'd be going to hell without Jesus and the gospel. And I just thought, what a merciful God we have, that He gives us a way out, because none of us deserve to go to heaven, but He's provided a way for us, and it's just such a blessing. As I said, every one of the characters, none of them are screaming and kicking. They don't want to die. They're all ready to go. And it's an awesome blessing that we've been given.
Oh, yeah, it certainly is. The mercy of God is far beyond anything that we can imagine. I've been looking at some scriptures most of the afternoon about the mercy of God. And, it's just all, it goes from Genesis to Revelation. All right. Did you want to say something, Matt?
Well, I kind of have an excuse. I didn't really think about it today, but I've been at work all day.
Okay.
So that's why you saw me eating dinner. When I thought about it, what little time I did think about it, it's just so much mercy you can see in each and every individual life that God draws to him. You can't go to God unless He draws you. There's your first mercy, your grace, and then everything after that. Everything He does for you, all the stuff He gives you, we don't deserve any one piece of it, but He still extends that mercy and that grace to each and every one of us, so that we can become sons of living God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. All right, anybody else? Yeah, Ken.
Yeah, speaking of fasting, Missy mentioned fasting. I found that fasting for a day is not so bad at all. I mean, last year I fasted for 3 days, and it was kind of a try because I like to stay active. But one day you can keep your energy level up pretty good. You can be really hungry, but as long as you keep active, you don't have to you don't think about it so much. But into the second day, you don't have no energy, and all you do is sit around and think about food. So one day's not bad because you can keep your energy level up. And I just thought I'd mention that.
Amen. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. A good 21-day fast is real good for you. I know it's hard. But I can tell you this much. After the third or fourth day, that hunger leaves you, or it loves me, and your energy level starts coming back up again. And you really don't care about eating during that period of time, because you're seeking God, you're praying, and you're in the Word. doing all those things and doing whatever you have to do, you know, physically. And that's what I found out. But what happens is it, what I've learned is that it cleans your system out as well. So you've got a physical attribute there as well. And gets all the toxins and the poisons out of you. Now, I don't have any in me because I don't eat nothing but bologna and hot dogs. And it's, it's, and Doritos. It's good stuff. No, I'm just kidding. We actually eat pretty good here. But anyway, no, that, the fasting is good for you. One day a week is good for you. It really is, Ken. And, three days, you know, a month is good for you too. All of them are good for all the fast is good for you. One reason that it's good for you is the, spiritual benefits that you actually are gaining through those fasts because you're getting rid of the flesh and you're allowing the spirit to work in you. That's a good thing. Okay, anybody else on God's mercy? Yeah, we had a, Ken, I don't know if you know it or not, but Tuesday night we had a, was it Tuesday night we had the thing on fasting? Yeah, I believe it was. We had a thing on fasting then, so it's kind of fresh in our minds right now.
I think I was fasting Tuesday, and I'm fasting today too.
Okay, awesome. Awesome. All right, that's good. Okay, anybody else on God's mercy? Now, don't make me call somebody out. Now, I can do that. Go ahead, Debbie.
I think it's just God's mercy that quickens us or enables us to fast, you know, and that's His mercy. It's not ourselves doing it. And I just wanted to say that what Ken was saying about being active. To me, I can't, if I'm active, I feel I'm not doing a much of a fast under the Lord. My mind is on everything I'm doing. I have to just stay home and purposely be in the Word and prayer just before the Lord. And if I do have to do something, I really try to stay before the Lord. But and I know everyone's different, and that's God's mercy too. There's no one's right or wrong. You fast unto the Lord. So that's His mercy that helps us in that. He encourages us.
Yep. Amen.
I also had some scriptures I want to share. I saw a couple of different types, or maybe three different types of mercy, if that's what I want, how I want to put it. I'm not really sure, but 2 Samuel 24:14, when David numbered people. 2 Samuel 24:14. Says, and David said unto Gad, I am in a great strait. Let us fall now into the hand of the Lord, for His mercies are great, and let me not fall into the hand of man. So he wanted to fall into the hand of the Lord because of the Lord's mercies in His judgment. He'd be merciful. That was that kind of mercy is really awesome mercy to have of the Lord. And then I thought in Psalm 86:5, I have, so for Thou, Lord, art good, and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon Thee. So He's merciful to all who call upon Him. And I thought it was interesting that in Psalm 145:9, it says, the Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His work. So His mercies are over unto the, all who call upon Him. His mercies over all His works. He's merciful in judgment. And then, of course, His
so many more other scriptures in the New Testament, his mercy and salvation. And but I have more, but I just wanted to share those three.
Amen. Those are good ones. Well, there's a bunch of them in there. There's a bunch of them in there. All right, anybody else? Did you have something else, Debbie?
No, this is
okay.
Thank you.
All right. Okay, anyone else? I was trying to find here. Hang on just a second. In Exodus. I'll just relate it from my memory. I've got a memory like a steel trap, so here we go. You remember when Moses was up on the mountain and the Lord was giving him the Ten Commandments? And then the Lord told him, he said, man, you need to get on down there. I said, them folks down there is acting up. They got them a calf down there that they're worshiping now. And so Moses took off down there, and what did the Lord tell him? The Lord told him, he said, I'm fixing to take this bunch out. I'm going to take the whole bunch out. But what did Moses do? Moses stood in for him. He said, Lord, you can't do that, because here's, you know, you done saved us from all the Egyptians and brought us out here, and we're going to be a testimony to everybody and all this kind of good stuff. You can't do that. He said, just take me, he said, and then save them, you know. And the Lord had mercy, didn't he? The Lord had mercy. Great mercy. And, of course, he listened to him. He said, get out of my way, Moses. Leave me alone, man. He said, I'm fixing to wipe this bunch out, you know. But Moses knew the mercies of God. He had experienced it already. And he knew that he could change the Lord's mind about doing that. And, of course, you know, the Lord placed it in him to do it, so he wouldn't have to kill them all. But anyway, there's one instance right there in Exodus, somewhere around between 20 and 25, I think, that he did that. But anyway, that's one instance of it. Can you think of any more instances where God's mercy prevailed? What about David and Goliath? David didn't hit him. You know, the Lord took that stone and took it right to Goliath's forehead and smacked him. That was God's mercy on David and the Israelis. And then he went up there and whacked his head off. That's God's mercy. All through the Old Testament and the New Testament, you see God's mercy. I'm going to give one more instance, then y'all going to have to take over. Another instance, you remember when Paul was a prisoner on the ship and the Lord came to him and told him that he was going to save the whole bunch, you know. But here you got this ship, man, this big, big ship. And water was coming in every compartment. They were fixing to sink. And one of the guys that was in charge up there wanted to kill everybody so they wouldn't escape, you know. But Paul told him, he said, the Lord told me. He said, the angel of the Lord came to me and told me that he was going to save everybody. He said, don't worry about it. He said, we're going to lose the ship, but every life will be saved. And these were unsaved people that he was saving. That's God's mercy right there. That's God's mercy. And of course, that's exactly what happened. They went on the island there and they were saved. All right, anybody else? Yeah, Missy?
Well, one thing that comes to my mind is when Jonah went to preach to Nineveh to repent. That was God's mercy. That was mercy big time. you know, that he didn't destroy them then, you know.
Well, not only that, it was mercy on Jonah, too, wasn't it? How many people, you know, survived a big fish swallowing them?
Yeah.
That was God's mercy. Yeah, that's a good example. And then it was God's mercy on that big city of Nineveh. It was a large city, too.
And another thing that just came to my mind, too, is how, you know, Lot hesitated to leave leave the city, and the angels just took him, you know, and his family. And
Took
him out of there. That was God's mercy.
Yeah, them angels wouldn't take a no for an answer, was it? I can't imagine. I mean, if I had an angel coming to me and said, man, you need to get out of town. You need to get out of town quick. You know, I ain't going to mess around. I'm out of there. Y'all coming, you better come on because Michael's gone. You know? I know he was thinking about his family, but when the Lord tells you to move, you better move. And God's mercy was on him because those angels just reached and grabbed him and his wife and his daughters and took them out of there.
Well, you know, that just made me think now of how I believe it was brought up on Tuesday about, you know, how the Lord's going to send us to go get our, you know, maybe not specifically us, but he will do that, send us to translate our families out of dangerous situations, you know, coming and stuff. And, I mean, it's like, if the Lord would answer Abraham, you know, on Lot and do that, you know, surely the Lord will answer our prayers in protecting our families. That just, I never took that scenario and thought about that and connected the two, you know, but that just came to me, and that's God's mercy, you know. If we have the faith, God will be merciful. If we believe our prayers, he will be merciful. He'll answer, and he'll be merciful to our family members who are just maybe absolutely clueless, but it's because of our prayers. He's going to be merciful.
Well, he wants to be known as the God of mercy, grace and mercy.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that too. I believe it with all my heart. All right.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Anybody else got a verse or a story out of the Word, or even a story on God's mercy? I tell you, good ones is me. God's mercy on me. Somebody's got their microphone unmuted.
I have mine, Michael.
Okay, you want something? Go ahead and share something if you want, Wade.
Yeah, first off, I must have been turned away or something, but I never heard the recorder being on. It usually says the recorder's not on or something like that. The recorder's on?
Yes, sir, it is. You're on the air, buddy.
When they were laying siege to the city, and Elijah came in and said that this time tomorrow you'll be eating tons of food, you know, and the guy made a prophecy. He said he pushed with his horns. He had made some horns. Anyways, that was a great show of mercy when God had the whole enemy just leave all of a sudden, run away. And they got all the food they needed. They were starving before that. They were laying siege to the city.
Yep.
I think it was Elijah that was the prophet.
Yep, believe you're right. All right.
But that was mercy.
Yes, it was. That's good mercy. God's good grace and mercy upon them. Yes, sir.
So you really need to be talking about tons of food?
No, we don't need to be talking about it. But you know, God is so, well, there's another instance, you know. Remember when Jesus told the apostles, go find these people some food. I'm not trying to get you on your mind on food here, kid.
I don't know if there are or not.
No.
I got these verses here. What a privilege it is to have his mercy. Because he says, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and compassion on whom I will have compassion. So, you know, it's his option. And so we're just privileged.
Absolutely. I see God where he says mercy and mercy. He'll give you all the mercy he can, but then there comes a time for judgment if you don't accept it and get under his wings, so to speak. Yep, you'll have mercy. I was fixing to say a while ago, I messed around on God for 50 years before I came to it. And got some Blackhawks running back and forth. But he had mercy on me for 50 years before I ever came to the Lord. And that's just plain simple mercy. I wouldn't have put up with myself for that long, that's for sure. You know. And don't be laughing, Missy. He put up with your mess, too. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. And I thank God that he did. And that's, you know, we're talking about God's mercy. He wants us to have mercy, too. Remember what he said in Matthew chapter 5. Where's my... Oh, right here.
I was just going to quote that one, too.
Yeah, go ahead, Barbara. You go ahead and do it.
Well, I got a few scriptures, too, and he was saying, blessed are the merciful, you know, and they shall obtain mercy. You know, mercy. They shall obtain mercy. And...
I think we lost you. I think we lost your audio. Yeah, she's right. In Matthew 5. All right, you back? Barbara? Okay. Also, here's something else right here in Matthew 5. Verse 43, you have heard that it was said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies and pray for them that persecute you, that ye may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. What he's telling us here, if you don't love your neighbor, if you don't love your enemies, you're not going to be a son of your Father, right? That's the opposite of what he's saying. But he wants us to have great mercy, just like he has great mercy on us. And that forgiveness is a must. We must forgive. That's the mercy that God wants us to show on our worst enemy. Now, sometimes we get a little bit irate at it, but there's no sense in doing that because he's already gave us the command to forgive. And so that's what we have to do. We just forgive them and start praying for them. Praise God. Wash your feet one day. Boy, that would freak them out, wouldn't it?
He's merciful in that as well. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can now.
Yeah, he's merciful in that too, because when you do have trouble forgiving someone, and you really want to because you want to do what's right and be pleasing to the Lord, you know, even in that, he really helps us to be able to forget. So
amen.
That's mercy right there to me.
Well, yeah, you know, people that have trouble forgiving somebody, you just have to tell the Lord, you know, surrender it to the Lord. I can't do it. So it's got to be you that does it. And I just surrender that unforgiveness to you. And guess what? Just like Barbara said, he'll take it out of there. Next thing you know, you don't have any ill will toward him at all. And you'll be praying for him. That's the best way to do it, is start praying for him. That'll get rid of it. Okay. Anybody else on mercy? Yeah, Missy.
Well, something that just came to me is the verse in Philippians that says that he works in us to will and to work of his good pleasure. That is mercy. That's his grace, but it's mercy too. You know? So.
Amen. It sure is. And there's instances all through the word about his mercy. I went to Knaves and found a bunch of them just on God's mercy. And I just wanted to show you how many pages it is. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 and a half. 6.5 pages on God's mercy, a Knaves topical Bible. And so that goes to show you that that's something that God wants us to understand. All right, anybody else? Yeah, go ahead, Andrew.
Paul, a lot of my scripture verses have already been said, but there's a really particularly good one in Exodus again. It's when they're just about to go through the Red Sea. And it's in Exodus 15:13. And the verse in itself really applies for today. Because it says there, "Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation." And you know, if they would have kept through just with that verse right to the end, they would have made it into the promised land. And that's like a really powerful verse. And it goes on how he was merciful with them against Edom, against Moab, against Canaan. And over there in 16, it mentions the Passover twice in that one verse. And this was after the Passover of Egypt. And it's mentioned there twice in verse 16. So that was a merciful thing there too. And you know, David Eales was talking a lot about the map where it's red. And the Red Sea thing. And I never really picked up the Bible to read any of the references there. And this verse here is the first place in Moses' account in the book of Exodus where mercy is mentioned. And the first in the Bible is there with Lot in the book of Genesis. So that was a pretty neat thing. That and of course, Psalm 136. We did mercy not too long ago. I think this is the second time we're doing mercy because I remember reading the 136 song. And of course, I like the last four verses there. It's really neat, those four.
Yeah. You want to read them?
Oh, I'd have to look it up.
Okay, what is it? 136 what?
136, 23 to 26.
Okay,
yeah.
I'll do it. Who remembered us in our low estate, for his loving kindness endureth forever. Now I'm reading the ASV version here. And hath delivered us from our adversaries, for his loving kindness endureth forever. Who giveth food to all flesh. You get that, Ken? For his loving kindness endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven, for his loving kindness endureth forever. That's right. Praise God that it does, too.
Yeah. In mine it says mercy, and I sort of thought that food was the spiritual food, though.
Yep.
The food of partaking of the Lamb of God.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. I also found the first and the last place in the New Testament, and 5 and 7, which we just read. And then there's the one in Jude 21, 22, and 23, where it actually gives instruction for mercy for people. which was really cool. We've read that verse before here. It talks about speaking and praying in the spirit.
Okay.
Yeah.
You want me to read it?
Yeah, it's Jude 21, 22, and 23.
Yep, I got it here. I got my little handy-dandy Bible here. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have mercy who are in doubt, and some save, snatching them out of the fire. And on some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Well, that's some good mercy right there, there, snatching them out of the fire. And on some have mercy with fear, some save. And that's why he wants us to keep ourselves in the love of God so we can do these things. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. That's for everybody around us too. Amen. All right, anybody else? God's mercy. I didn't mean to run that whoever that was off a while ago. I guess it did. Anybody else? On God's mercy.
Yeah, Michael.
Yeah, Benny.
I guess sometimes we don't think of it, or anyway, maybe it's me, as being one of the gifts of the Spirit. We think of prophecy and some of the other ones, but in Romans 12, verse 8, but I'm going to read starting in verse 6. And having gifts differing according to the grace given us, whether prophecy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, attend to the ministry, or he that teacheth to the teaching, or he that exhorteth to the exhorting, and he that giveth, let him do so liberally, and he that ruleth with diligence, and he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. So I think we all would be in that we're believers would, you know, extend mercy or show mercy, or even we would think, you know, mercifully towards others, but that's even a gift that someone would have that's probably you know, because we are gifts differing, so some would have that gift in the body to has to show that mercy, you know, all the time towards others, and they would seem to have a bent towards that, towards showing mercy. So, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. In diligence, not slothful, fervent in the spirit, serving the Lord. Verse 11. Just thought I'd throw that in there. We're not slothful. Amen. All right, anybody else? On God's mercy, what is it? Second Chronicles 7 and 3. Second Chronicles 7 and verse 3. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down, and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And the priests waited on their offices, the Levites also with instruments of music of the Lord, which David the king had made to praise the Lord, because his mercy endureth forever. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Praise God. That's another good one in the Old Testament. Anybody else?
I just wanted to share Luke 6:36.
All right. Go ahead. Where'd she go? Oh. Did you want to share that? Wait a minute. Well, you got to unmute. Hang on. I got you. All right. Go ahead, Debbie.
That one? That was Luke 6:36.
Yeah.
Didn't hear it?
Uh-uh.
Be therefore merciful as your Father in heaven is merciful.
Amen.
I think it's awesome when we sit and think and get awed by his mercy. And if we think about our individual lives, and you know, when I think on mine, I can't believe I'm here walking with God. Like, I guess I can because he's so merciful. And, but then we know his mercy and tells us to be merciful as he is merciful.
Amen. All right, anybody else? In Psalm 78:38, but he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away, and he did not stir up all his wrath, but he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passeth away and cometh not again. I'll tell you something else. Think about this for a minute. Has not God been merciful to America? Just think about it. We could have had Hillary up there, and we don't. We have this guy that has been prophesied by God back in 2008 that he was going to be president and that he was going to be his anointed, and he had a confirmation. We had a confirmation back in 2011 that he was going to be president. That's God's mercy on us. And nobody believed it up until the last moment. And like Andrew was talking about, if you saw the map, it was all red except for those little old places of blue, like on the west coast and up on the northeast and down in Texas. There's a couple of little old places down there, and then down in the Delta, couple of little places. But yeah, that's God's mercy on us. We prayed. The Lord told us to pray here during that period of time, about a year before the election, start praying for Trump, be in there, and to that he was going to be God's anointed to carry us through the first 3.5 years of tribulation. And You know, we don't know what's going on behind the scenes, but I truly believe we need to keep praying for that man and keep him lifted up, because he is God's anointed. You know, I know he makes a lot of bad mistakes, but that's okay. He's headed in the right direction. And he's slowly but surely draining the swamp up there. Now, I know that there's natural disasters that are coming that are going to be devastating to this country. And it's going to turn everything around. But we'll still have Trump in there as president, who, if you heard his speech in Warsaw, Poland, it was awesome speech, and it talked about Christian values. He talked about all of that stuff, you know, and it was really, really one of the best speeches I've ever heard as far as a president talking about America, making America great, and the Western European countries great again as well. So anyway, that's God's mercy. Yeah, Missy.
Speaking of what you were talking about, I saw a brief thing on the news that I believe it was yesterday. There were a bunch of Christian leaders that laid hands on him and were praying for him.
Oh, really?
Yesterday, I believe.
Well, praise God. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
We've been praying that he'd receive the Holy Spirit, baptism in the Holy Spirit, and I believe he will before it's over.
Mm.
We also prayed that David would go visit him, you know, be translated up there to see him. And I actually, when they was praying that, I said, yes, Lord, I'd like to tag along. I won't see this. I can see this little old deal. And I would. I'd love to see that kind of a thing. But, yep. Supernatural things are going to happen to this man. And if you've noticed, and I don't want to get off on politics or not, but at all, but yeah, I'm talking about God's mercy. He's made him, his mind, more or less a wall against all of that negativity that they've thrown at him. It doesn't seem to faze him one iota. He's a fighter, apparently, and he just doesn't let it bother him. Now he's got he come back with some nasty stuff, but that's just the flesh in him. That's okay, you know, he's learning. All right, God's mercy. Yeah, Ken.
I read about that where they were all laying hands on him too, and I prayed that he would only accept the good and not the bad, because I've seen some of the preachers there who weren't. One of the guys was that who went to that Toronto revival that was fall. So yeah. He was laying hands on him too. So I'm saying that he wouldn't receive nothing from that guy.
Amen. Amen. Yes, Lord, we just thank you that he didn't receive anything from the false revival preachers, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, that you have protected him. Thank you, Lord. Oh, my. I was afraid of that when Missy was talking about it, because they're always going to be in the limelight, you know. All right. Anybody else? I tell you what, he's given a lot of mercy to the people up there on the left, and I, you know, he's given a lot of mercy to them. He's exposing them. He's showing them, hey, look, y'all better turn or you're going to burn. You know, that's what it looks like to me. He's trying to give them every chance, but they're not open to that. They're open to, looks like, that they're open. So we need to be praying for them too. All right. Anybody else? It's interesting times that we're in. I've never seen the division like there is right now in America. I lived through the civil rights stuff, and I lived through Vietnam, and we lived through all of this other stuff that there was some division. But this is the worst I've ever seen it. I've never seen the Democratic, I don't know if y'all remember, well, you may not remember this, but the Democratic Party used to be a conservative party back many years ago. It was a conservative party, the Democrat. But now they've gone completely wacko. So anyway, let's get back on God's mercy. Anybody want to expound some more on God's mercy in the Word or out of the Word? Has He had mercy in your life? I bet He has. Hey, I tell you what. Hey, Tracy, I want to get something up here for you. How many of you have ever heard that song, Dry Bones, by Michael Farren? I know, Missy, I want y'all to listen to this. This is an awesome, I listened to it 2 or 3 times this afternoon, and I really enjoy it. I get the Holy Spirit is, let me get it up here. Give me a second here. I'll pull it up. Come alive, dry bones. Glory to God. Hang on.
Hey, Michael, you're talking about mercy. I just want to say, every time I look in the mirror, I think of God's mercy.
Oh, me too, Tracy.
Amen.
Amen. Me too. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Okay, here we go.
Valley unafraid. Hey. we declare the Spirit of the living God is calling out your name. You're coming alive for His kingdom and His reign. The Spirit of the living God is calling out your name. You're coming alive.
What did y'all think of that?
That was good. I liked it.
Amen. Me too. That was one of my favorite. We've been singing that here in the fellowship for a while, but we don't sing the long version. We sing Lauren Daigle's version, which is a lot shorter. Boy, I love that. Michael Farron, he and Lauren Daigle's the one that wrote that. You know, they're right down the road from us, actually. They're at Franklin. Which is below Nashville. I say right down the road. It's probably a couple of 100 miles over there. Closer than y'all. Anyway. All right. Anyway, what do you think of that? Everybody did not like it? Don't raise your hand.
Awesome song.
Yeah. I let Kevin, our chief musician here, I let him listen to the full version this afternoon. And, boy, he thought that was awesome. So we'll probably have the full version going by the time y'all get down here, Denny.
Hey, Mike, well, say hi to Kevin for us.
Okay. We will. All right. Anybody got something they'd like to share? You know, we ought to have one of these fellowships, if you'd like, just on, if you got a favorite song that you'd like to share, just do it. We'll have a praise and worship night. I shared mine, that's up to y'all. Okay, anybody else? What you want to comment on? Anybody got something on their mind?
I know when we're praying for people, we can always appeal to God for His mercy, you know, that He would be merciful to them and, you know, and grant them repentance. But I don't know where the verses are, but I know there's some strong verses that suggest that we can appeal to God on behalf of others on the basis of His mercy, you know, calling upon Him. So, thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Michael, I found a good portion on mercy. It's Psalm 103:8. I'm not quite sure how far I'm going to go. I was reading it and I didn't get this to really look and see how far, but it's awesome. Anyway, it says, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us after our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his loving kindness toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he hath, actually, 2 verse 14, 8 to 14 is awesome.
Amen.
That's a good one. What psalm was that? 103, Psalm 103.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Amen. Okay, Willie. Do you have something, Willie?
Yeah, I was on the phone earlier with you guys around 8:30, and someone brought up a psalm about, you know, they fasted and the Lord, what was that, and the Lord kept them safe? What was that verse of scripture that was read?
What was the subject matter?
It was,
because there's been a couple of psalms. We had Psalms 86 and 5.
It was you know, Israel was going from one place to another, but they fasted, and they said, I believe the fear of the Lord came upon the people as they were traveling.
Anybody remember that? Let me look this one up right quick. That might be it. I don't know.
Isn't it that the one that Missy gave?
Yeah, it was one way early, around 8 something, 8:30.
No, that's not it. I don't remember. I don't remember. Missy, did you give one that was like that?
I'm sorry, I didn't. I think this was the first one I gave, isn't it? I don't know.
Which one was it?
Psalm 103:8 to 14 or 15, or I forget what it was. That's what I just gave. I'm sorry, I didn't catch what Willie said because I was looking at some more verses here and I wasn't tuned in.
Well, someone brought up fasting, and it was, they were talking about a moment, you know, when the Israelites fasted and prayed, because they had to journey from one place to another, and the Lord kept them safe.
Yeah.
The journey. And I kept remember that scripture specifically.
I think that was in Ezra.
Yeah, it was one that Anna gave earlier.
Yeah.
And let's see, is that here?
Ezra 8:20-22.
Which psalm?
Ezra 8:20-22.
Oh, Ezra 8, okay. 20-22.
Ezra. That's a rare book for me. What chapter?
8.
Ezra 8:20-22.
chapter.
Verse 21 and 22.
Yeah. Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river Ahava, that we might humble ourselves before our God to seek of him a straight way for us, for our little ones and for all our substance. For I was ashamed to ask of the king.
I have to get back to you in a moment. Okay. All right. Sorry about that. I have a telephone call that came in.
Okay. That's Ezra 8, 20, and, or 21 and 22.
Okay, 21 and 22. Okay, proclaim the fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might humble ourselves before God, seek him straightway for us, for our little ones and substances, for I was ashamed to ask them. Okay. So we fasted and besought God for this, and he was entreated. Then I set apart. I'm not quite sure if it's that one, but there was something that really caught my attention on there when it was read. And it was just about the safety thing. You know, often when we're going through trials, you know, we take very little time out to fast in the midst of the trial, or to even think of fasting in the midst of the trial. But the Lord's still merciful, even, you know, when we don't. But, you know, how much more, you know, the power and the safety and the strengthening, you know, when that trial occurs, that comes from, you know, setting yourself apart and fasting, you know, in the midst of that element, in order to have the Lord's, you know, safety and strength. You know, he says, but with the trial, he, you know, he will make a way to escape it, not so much as to run away, but to make it through.
Amen.
And so I just found that, you know, I found that really interesting, you know, when I thought about that. And it was like how safe they suddenly became. How, you know, no one, you know, touched them. You know, how the trial, you know, didn't faze them. How the Lord, you know, even in the midst of the trial, set them apart unto himself. You know, it's interesting how fearful those demons will become when you take on a fast in the midst of the trial. They're like, yeah, we got the upper hand. Just don't fast. you know, just don't have faith, you know. I mean, for some, they can have faith, and, you know, and that's awesome.
Yeah.
And for, you know, others, you know, when you've got that hard time, you know, trying to pull through, these kinds don't go out except by prayer and fasting.
Amen.
And, you know, the Lord might be pushing you into that area like he did them, to where, okay, it's a trial, but guess what? It's going to be a trial with a fast. You don't practice this enough, so here's a trial with a fast, you know. Get used to it. I want to demonstrate my power. But I really enjoyed that verse of scripture. It really enlightened me, and I just want to share that.
Well, you got 150 chapters of Psalms if you want to check it out. That's the one. You know, an interesting story I read the other day about John G. Lake when he was in South Africa. There was a plague that came out, that broke out, and he would go into houses or huts, and the whole families would be dead on their beds, or half the family would be dead, and the other half would be sick, you know. And it was, I forget which plague it was. It might have been bubonic plague. And anyway, his friend, I believe it was Tom Helmack, who was a prayer guy, he was an intercessor, and he just went out in the desert, got under a thorn tree, and went to praying. And Lake would go out there after a couple of days and check on him and bring him some food, you know. But he was fasting and praying, and he was travailing for these people. And And then the next few days, Lake came out there and said, "How's it going, Tom?" You know, and he says, "Oh," said brother, said, "I believe if I had some help here," he said, "I believe I could touch the Lord. I could get this prayer answered." And so Lake said he knelt down. He started praying with him and said, then all of a sudden, he saw in the spirit this great horde of demons, like a herd of sheep is what he called it, out in front of him, and said before he could say anything, Tom had jumped up and run after those demons, screaming, you know, "In the name of Jesus, you go from here." And that broke the plague right there. And that was because of one man's prayer.
That is awesome.
Oh, man, that's the power of God. That's the power of praying and fasting right there.
Mm,
praise God.
Some powerful stuff in fasting, man.
Oh, my goodness.
And I'm not saying this to, you know, come against anybody here. I do very little fasting. That's why it touched me so much, because I've been asking the Lord to deal with me concerning fasting. It's like almost every fast I tried to go on, somewhere in the middle of it, I broke it. It's like, I'm going to eat some food.
Well, you know? I remember the story of A.A. Allen when he was seeking the to be, he was fasting. He had read Franklin Hall's book, as a matter of fact, and he got the revelation that he needed to fast too, so that he could seek God's face, you know, that God would come down and be with him, you know, and to glorify him. And he just wanted God's love all over him. And he told his wife, he said, "Lock me up in the closet." And he said, "Don't unlock it for no reason," you know. He was going to sit in there and he was going to pray. Well, he prayed all day. And then at evening time, Mama Allen went to frying fish for the kid, or frying chicken for the kids. And he could smell that chicken coming inside that hall closet. He got to beating on the door. Said, "Mama, let me out of here and get me some of that chicken." He messed up. So then he'd lock her back in there the next day, and he'd do the same thing. You know, he did that a couple of times, and then she'd go to cooking, and that smell of that great cooking that Mama Allen had would permeate that closet where he was, and he couldn't stand it. Man, he'd go to beating on that door, "Let me out of here." But finally, he did. He stayed with it. He laid with it, and he laid with it, and he prayed, and he fasted, and he prayed, and he sought God. And that closet lit up one day, and the power of God came all over him, and it told him a lot of stuff. I don't remember exactly what all it was, but he told him that he had a ministry for him. And that ministry, of course, if you remember anything about A.A. Allen, was a healing ministry. He had a wonderful healing ministry. I mean, miracles, great gifts. The gifts, he had the gift of miracles too. People with organs missing, that he'd pray for them and they'd get them, you know. It's just amazing. But that even the best of them fail at fasting at times. So I have too. I was telling folks the other day how my fast used to be on Mountain Dew and Soda Pops, you know. "I'm fasting, you know, I'm fasting." No, you're not. A fast is with water or without water. That's it. You know, that's what a fast is. People say, "Well, you can fast from TV." Okay. Fast from TV. If that's been an idol in your life, you need to pray against it and ask God to take it out of you. But actual scriptural fasting is with water or without water. Now, some say that you can't fast very long without water. I beg to differ with you. David has fasted for 14 days without water before. If you remember us talking about that Chinese guy, he fasted for 75 days without water or food. And then there's another instance of another Chinese guy that fasted for 100 days, just eating a little small bowl of rice, no water, just rice. Yeah, no water.
Yeah, if I can, if I could request anything from you guys, is the Lord, you know, dealt with me with putting a couple of things away, because you know what the flesh gets like. I was like, well, you know, I put it away for a while now. Maybe I can handle it. There's nothing wrong with just a little bit, and a little bit turned into too much. And so the Lord, you know, had me put it down again and, you know, deleted a whole bunch of stuff. Stuff to where my mind was like, what are you doing? Are you insane?
Yeah.
But just pray for me concerning, you know, fasting.
Okay. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, you know Willie's heart. He wants to do what you want him to do, Father. I ask and I pray, Lord, that you give him the strength to endure in a fast for you, Lord. And I ask that in the name of Jesus. Lord, you know, you said that we could ask, we could seek, and we could knock. And you said in John 14:14 that if you ask anything in my name, you shall have it. And so, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we ask that you give him the endurance in his fasting for you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Well, that's a done deal, Willie.
Amen.
Start it today. Go for 21 days in Jesus' name. Okay. All right. Well, amen.
Well, good thing for God's mercy.
Yeah.
And grace.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord, for God's grace and mercy upon us.
Amen. That's what I need, his grace and mercy to do that.
Amen. I remember reading, here's some other guys that started their ministry by praying and fasting, and that was Oral Roberts did it. And so did Jack Cole, William Branham, all of those guys back in the 40s and 50s. They prayed and fasted. Kenneth Hagin prayed and fasted and got there. Kenneth Hagin, all through his whole life, even when he was old, he was still fasting then many times, you know. He got in some error there, but the Lord corrected him because he was praying and fasting. And praise God, you know, that's a good thing. It's a good thing. It's part of our Christian walk to do that. Anyway. God's mercy. Thank you, Lord. Hi, Jeremy. How you doing, brother? All right. Anybody else?
I got something here.
Okay, Ken.
If you want to talk about God's mercy, you can't forget Paul, you know, because he says in 1 Timothy 1:13, though I was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, howbeit I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord abounded exceedingly with faith and love, which is in Jesus Christ. So, you know, how bad Paul was, and the Lord had mercy on him. So that's big time mercy right there.
Michael, are you chattering away because we can't hear you?
Yeah, I had some good stuff for you too, but I forgot what it was. I was talking about Paul. You was talking about Paul. Even in fastings, he said he fasted often. He had to. I mean, God had that demon following him around, bringing shipwrecks and beatings and all that stuff on him. He got killed one time. Y'all remember, he got stoned to death, and the Lord woke him up and said, no, this ain't going to happen, brother. You got some more work to do. So he brought him back to life. Yeah, Andrew?
I got a verse here in Philippians 2:13. It's a verse that I'm looking at an awful lot. You know, well, it's not awful. It's a really nice verse. It kind of activates stuff if you have faith in that verse in Philippians 2:13. It's a really good verse. For it is God who worketh in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. And
you know, that if you have, if you pray about that to God and ask for that, and because, you know, he's supposed to answer all your needs, like with Sozo, and I think that pretty much applies to mercy too, and whatever you desire, that would be in accordance to the Lord's word, I think. So it's a really interesting verse. Anyway, that's to ask God for that particular portion of working that you want, you know, in Philippians 2:13.
Yep, that's right. You know, and the thing about it is, once you pray it, just believe it has happened. That he's going to work through you for his pleasure. That's what we want. We want to do what he wants us to do. Another one, Andrew, is a good prayer, is over in Ephesians. Is that one? I believe, yeah. Yeah, here it is, verse 17, Ephesians 1:17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto me, Michael, a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of my heart, that's the way I always pray it, enlightened, that I may know what is the hope of his calling, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what the exceeding greatness of his power to me who believe, according to that working of the strength of his might, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and made him to sit at his right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. That's a good one to pray for yourself. Put it in the first person. And also over in Ephesians 3 is another one. He says in verse 14, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father, it's Paul talking, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that he would grant you, Michael, according to the riches of his glory, that I may be strengthened with power through his spirit in the inward man, that Christ may dwell in my heart through faith, to the end that I, being rooted and grounded in love, may be strong to apprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that I may be filled unto all the fullness of God. That's a good one. That's another good one to pray for yourself. Put it in the first person and then believe that that's what he's doing. And there's many more in the Word of God. If you pray the scriptures, oh my goodness, that's powerful stuff. Especially when you're fasting, Willie. I'm just saying. Amen.
Willie, you don't have to start till the morning. We're on a day shift around here.
All right. Praise God.
I figure if I start at night, at least, you know, I'm sleeping through most of it. So.
Okay. You're already trying to finagle here. Finagle around it. Yep. And, you know, I remember one time I was going to do a 40-day fast. And then I said, well, maybe I'll do a 21-day fast, you know. Well, maybe just a 2-week fast to be better. So that's what I did, a 2-week fast. We have good intentions, but our flesh sometimes gets in the way, doesn't it?
Willie can fast for 21 nights in a row.
Yeah, not like the Muslims do. That's what they do. They say they have a 30-day fast, but they fast during the day, but they eat at night. Oh, my. One day a week fast is always good. It gives your body rest. Not only that, it gives you spiritual insight too. It's good for you. Okay, anybody else? Well, how did I get that upside down? We just about, do y'all want to do that next Tuesday? Does everybody have something that they want to share as far as a praise and worship song? Or do y'all want to get on something else? I'm here just a servant of God, just want to do whatever y'all want to do.
Excuse me. Hey, Michael.
Hey, Barbara. What's up, girl?
I put a link up on the chat there for Willie, if he wants to check that out on Bill Weaver on fasting. It was pretty good.
You're talking about that audio teaching of David's?
No, it was an article. Well, it's on UBM. It's an article Bill Weaver did.
Oh, yeah.
That was really helpful.
Yeah.
If Willie, I don't know if Willie can get the link or not.
Yeah, I got it. I just went in and took a look at it. I'm going to put it up into my favorites and then leave it after I'm done with this.
Well, there's also a good teaching.
Thank
on,
you.
Yeah, there's also a good teaching on fasting, praying that David did. There's a 5-part series, I believe, 5 or 6, I forget. It's 5. Yeah, it's real good. And then I had a little bit to say about it yesterday. I'll probably do a little bit more next week. It's, you know, the Lord has pressed it on many of us here to be fasting and praying for revival, for Trump, for those type of things, you know, whatever God lays on our heart. And people are doing it. One thing that we're praying about, we started yesterday, and that is to pray about when we come together in fellowship that the gifts of the Spirit would be evident, you know, that they would be in operation. we see them a time here and there, but I would like to see them in every fellowship. And so one of the things that we talked about yesterday is that when you come to fellowship, come with an attitude of glorifying God, you know, and not just fellowship for fellowship's sake, you know. And then if you pray and you ask God for that, he's going to be very faithful to do that, is to let the gifts in, of the Spirit in operation. I'm not just talking about one or two. I'm talking about all of them. You know, that'd be awesome. I'm looking forward to it. I'm in great expectation for that. You know, we can do that here, too.
Yeah, that's been one of my concerns, you know, why I want to fast.
Yeah.
And it's because I want the Spirit to have more express freedom than, you know, happen to sit and try to think about what I'm going to say or think about what I can add to the conversation. But just let the Holy Spirit, you know, really just start dictating, really start moving. Because you got a lot of saved people in here.
Yeah.
That's a lot of power.
Absolutely.
You know,
well, we've had great answers to prayer here.
Mm-hmm.
Great answers to prayer. Yeah. Fasting and praying for before you know, a fellowship, an outreach fellowship would be good. And asking the Lord to show himself strong through us, you know. And generally what happens, he'll pick the lowest member to give a word of knowledge to, or whatever, you know, prophecy. That happens. And I look forward to doing it. I want to see it happen more and more. I want to see the Spirit of God working through everybody. And if you allow him to do it, the first thing we have to do is to ask the Lord to clean us up, you know. And that's what I've been doing. Lord, just clean this old nasty flesh out of me. Get rid of the world out of me. And he's doing it. Sometimes that old flesh don't like to go. It's screaming and hollering when it goes. But, you know, if you want it bad enough, he'll give it to you. All right, what else did y'all decide on that, or what you want to talk about Tuesday night?
Hey, Michael, did we ever talk about before predestination?
Yeah, we talked about it once before, but we can do it again if you want to.
Well, yeah, my husband always asks us about predestination, and I thought that we did, but I couldn't remember where to go to get the audio at. But
well, David's got some audios on predestination and the call.
Yeah, I know. He won't listen, though, to them. I've told him about those. He won't listen to them, though.
Well, why don't you pray and ask God to make it in him? We can pray and ask God to open up his mind to doing that.
Okay. Yeah.
We can do that. Does he listen to the conference call?
Sometimes. That's hit and miss, too, but sometimes.
Okay. Well, let's just pray. Lord, we just lift up his name, Bruce. Isn't
it? Yeah.
Lift up Bruce to you, Father, in the name of Jesus. And we ask, Lord, that you open up his mind, that he'd want to listen. If he wants some answers to predestination, Lord, let him listen to those tapes that David has on site, predestination of and the called, I believe it's called, something like that. And Lord, we thank you for it. We thank you, Lord, that he's going to get a revelation there, Lord. And we praise you for it. I'll tell you something else, Barbara. You might get that book, Salvation Instant Progressive, because it talks about it as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but he's not there yet where he wants to read and study and, you know, so I, you know. But he did say that if you guys talked about predestination, he would listen in.
Okay.
That's why I just thought I'd throw that out there if, you know, y'all want to.
Well, let's see what everybody says. Does anybody not want to talk about predestination next Tuesday night?
I got a question.
Yes, sir.
Are we going to be just talking about predestination in general, or how we've seen ourselves predestined to be all actually in this same chat room or something like that?
No, it's going to be predestination as the scriptures talk about it. Predestination in our salvation. Let's do it that way, okay? Predestination in our salvation. And if you go back, David has some teachings on it. I forget some of the books that it's in. It's in Salvation Instant and Progressive, I think. It's also in, what's that book, Blessings? Oh, gosh.
Sanctification Before Blessing.
Yeah, that's it, Barbara.
Yeah.
Yeah, Sanctification Before Blessing. It's also in that one. So we can predestination as a doctrine, okay? We'll just do it that way. Predestination as a doctrine. And you can go too far either way. And that's what I'm saying. And we need to back it up with scripture.
A lot of people reject that predestination. They're totally into the my free will in the I chose God, you know, which is opposite.
Yeah. Well, if I go back, even John Calvin, he taught predestination. He taught that, and they call that Calvinism, you know, and they don't believe that. Most of them don't, but he believed it. The Word says it. The Word teaches it. And so anyway, well, yeah, we can do that. We can go through that next week. Will everybody try to bring something to it about it next week? And we'll go over this for Bruce as to help him open up and see what God has for. And the thing about predestination, if you're going to talk about it, we need scripture to back it up. And that's always a good thing to have. And I'll try to have some myself next Tuesday night.
Can we pray also that he would his heart would be receptive to receiving the truth? Because I think there's a lot of hindrance from the enemy in that, in him believing, because he has a hard time believing that God can send someone to hell, to just predestine someone and not others.
Let me ask you a question, Barbara. Does he believe that the Bible is the inspired word of God?
He says he does, but I don't know.
That's the first thing that anybody can receive, is to believe that, is that the Bible is inspired by the Holy Spirit. Not only inspired, but it's written by the Holy Spirit. It is absolutely written. Ivan Panin, back years and years ago, proved that scientifically, that it was written by God.
I just think there's a lot of bondage there, I think, that's keeping him from believing. I guess that's what it is.
Well, I'll tell you what I'd do if I was... Barbara, what I would do if I were you, I would just pray and fast for Bruce and see what God does for him. Because whatever you pray and fast for regarding Bruce, it's going to happen.
Okay. Yeah, I just wanted the body to believe with me, please.
That's yeah, all. We will.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Go ahead, Debbie. Well, you had your hand up. Okay. All right. Well, we're about out of time. So predestination for next week. Is that okay with everybody? Shake your head. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Well, Lord, we just praise you and we glorify you, Father. And we thank you for your mercy upon each one of us. Lord, put mercy in our hearts too. Put mercy and grace and love in our hearts too, Father. I don't want nothing but your love, Lord. I want to look at my enemy and just love him, Father. And I thank you that you're doing it. And I thank you that you're doing it for all of us. Give us all a good night's sleep. Thank you, Lord, for supporting Willie in his fasting and Ken in his fasting. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Let us all have a good night's sleep tonight, Father. And we thank you for that. And Lord, be with us, protect us until we meet again, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good night, everybody.